And with that, our first song is that, Lord, we're going to bless you forever. We're going to trust in him at all times because he has delivered us from fear. And he has set our feet upon a rock.
With our soul, Lord God, I thank you and praise you, Lord God, for blessing each and every one of these tithes and offerings, Lord God, and blessing those who have given.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that they are here to glorify you, Lord God. I thank you for Pathway of Hope being a light in this community and also a light around the world. Lord, we thank you and praise you as we are a part of praying for those and helping those that are ministering the gospel, not only here, but around the world. We truly love you, and we thank you and praise you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this okay? Am I doing okay? Okay, cool. So, today, does anybody know what today is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are good. And when did Armistice Day change? Do you know? It changed to Veterans Day. Do you know what year? 1954. No. 1926. After World War. After the 19. Let's see. Was approved 1938 and then Armistice Day 1938. And then the United States American Forces, 1954, the Congress. Okay, 1954. They changed it from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. But it started November 11th, and it said, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, an armistice began between Germany and the Allied nations came into effect. On November 11th, 1919, Armistice Day was commemorated for the first time. And it was President Wilson who proclaimed the day that it should be filled with the solemn pride and the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory. And then in 1926, the United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I and declared that the anniversary of the armistice should be commemorated with prayer and thanksgiving. The Congress also requested that the President should issue a proclamation calling upon the officials to display the flag of the United States in all government buildings on November 11th and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other peoples. You know what, too, is close to this? I have no idea if this has any effect, but then on the 13th, to a couple days from now, is the National Day of Kindness Day, the National Kindness Day. And in this one, it says that it was made to, the day involves people around the world showing that we can think about more than ourselves and make the world a better place because of it. See, in this time, also today is known as the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. And so we're seeing this day of being able to remember others more than just ourselves. Remember those that the freedom that we have in America is because of those men and women who have served our country and who have helped not only our country to be free, but have helped other countries because of the kindness of our heart, because of the love that God has given us and extending it to others. So this day is also then a day of extending our love and concern for those who are persecuted for the name of Christ. See, we are so thankful that we live in America, in a country that was founded on the principles for freedom to worship the one true living God and not being told how to do it, why to do it, when to do it, where to do it. We have that freedom. We have the freedom to have our Bibles. We have the freedom to have church meetings. Now, yes, we're hearing more persecutions are happening. But as we sang in that song, "It is well with my soul," no matter what happens, we know that no matter what persecution goes on, no matter what trials and tribulations go on, it is still well with our soul. See, many soldiers, military personnel who have served our country well, those who had that confidence that Jesus had died for their sins, Jesus was with them, helping them, strengthening them, protecting them as they were fighting for the freedom for our country and fighting for the freedom of others. As they went into Germany to help free the prisoners in the concentration camps, seeing the atrocities that were happening, those that had Jesus as their Lord and Savior had a strength that others did not, that they could rely on, a peace that they could have in the midst of what they were going through, a healer that could heal them in the midst of what they were seeing, because Jesus was the name that they were trusting in, and the power of the blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of them, the power that that name brought. So today is a day of much memory and looking of and concurrent of thinking of others, extending God's love for all mankind in and through us to others. A powerful way is prayer. This was a gift to Paul and I, the National Day of Prayer, the Reverend Lois Bly. She is the Arizona State Coordinator for the Director for the National Day of Prayer. And her husband, Carl, made these for all the county coordinators. And I love this. We all know the folding hands or mean prayer. Do you call that folding hands? What do you call that? This is folding hands, but anyways, yeah, praying hands. Anyways, but I just thought it was really beautiful, and now I have it where the little antique piece that we have near the George Washington's prayer at Valley Forge. We have that with the American flag frame, and I just love it. I have that right near that. There's a reason why I have, and I will get to that, the Israel flag and the American flag. And help me not to break this, because Paul said this is very old. But I said it was a perfect vase thing. I was trying to find other ones, and it was like, okay, all right, I'll try. So, now, Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Remember what the church is? We are the body of Christ, correct? The dictionary says, "All Christians considered as a single body." The whole body of Christian believers. Christendom. See, we are all one body. And when another body suffers, it is affecting us. And I was watching, I was going through something the other day. I was having my day of R&R, and I was flipping through the channels, and I watched a little bit of Seventh Heaven? Is that? Okay. Anyways, obviously, it was on that, I forgot the name of the channel, an inspirational channel. And so I was watching a little bit of it, and there was a daughter, one of their daughters, they have several children. I guess that's where they have seven children. Is that where they came from the title? But anyways, one of the daughters had done something, and she didn't want her parents to find out. So then she convinced her sister to do something to try to help cover her. And then eventually they found out. And the mother was telling her, you know, when you blow it, and then you got your sister to blow it, when you blow it and you don't have a, we all are going to blow it. But when you don't have a repentant heart, then that is like a stone thrown in the pond, and it causes ripples. And the ripples affected your sister, which then affects really the whole family, because we are all part of one family. We are part of one family, the body of Christ. And see, we should be hurting for those who are persecuted out in the world. There are many persecuted out in the world for the Christian faith, and many are being persecuted here, and it's going to get worse. Unless God miraculously does something different, it is going to get worse. We're hearing it, and if you've ever heard of some of it going on because of their Christian faith, persecution is happening here. Nothing compared to what is out there in the world. But people are in jail right now in the United States, standing upon their faith, upon their principles. Persecute means, in the Greek, it says to pursue, to ensue, follow after, given to suffer. In the Hebrew, it says run after, usually with hostile intent, chase, put to flight, follow, after, hunt, and pursue. Once again, we see that pursue and follow are both in the Greek and the Hebrew definitions. The dictionary definition says to afflict or harass constantly so as to inquire distress, oppress cruelly, to trouble or annoy constantly. Has anybody been annoyed by somebody for their Christian faith? So we've been persecuted too. Now, obviously not to an extent of some, but we know a little bit about what it's like to be a Christ follower and suffer persecution. When we hear the word martyr, what do you think of? Yeah. So you think of death, right? Somebody who died for their faith. Well, most of us think that. But the word's true meaning goes much deeper. St. Augustine said, the cause, not the suffering, makes a genuine martyr. The Greek word martys means one who remembers and testifies to the truth. They are an active witness. Often, yes, we think of martyr as Stephen was, the first martyr, who died for his active witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways. But we also know that a martyr also is persecution. It is constantly. If you are an active witness for the truth, for the way, for Jesus Christ, you are actually also a martyr. And not to death, but you are suffering a form of persecution of being a martyr. Martyr in the Greek says, as Melissa said, a witness. Martyr means to record. So in other words, you are a witness. It's recorded. You are recording. Dictionary definition, a person who chooses to suffer or die, to suffer or die. So this is taking the dictionary, is taking the true meaning. We always think of it more as death, but the dictionary says a person who chooses to suffer or die rather than give up his faith or his principles. A person tortured, tormented, or killed because of his belief. And a person who suffers great pain or misery for a long time. Some people have had that. That truly is a martyr. Acts 5:41 says, now this is when John and Peter were beaten, and they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts 5:41, so they, John and Peter, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame, disgrace for his name. How many have rejoiced that you have suffered shame for his name? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not liking it. I think sometimes we tend to think it is very uncomfortable, and we're not thinking of it rejoicing. Some people, when they give their tithes and offerings, they're thinking of it more of as a painful thing instead of they should be doing it as if unto the Lord. They should be glad because all increase is from him. What we have, all of our, the breath that we're, the air that we're breathing right now, the breath is a gift from God. All of our gifts and talents, everything that we have is only because of the blessings of God. So everything that he has, he's in control of all things. Everything that we go through is because of his purpose for his glory. So we should rejoice. But I know I failed in that. Martyrs have this mindset, as Stephen did, that he loved them and he did as just Jesus did. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, as they were stoning him to death for his faith in Jesus. Oh, as Evelyn had in the beginning, and what God gave her in the life journal, stand. That's why I wanted to stand for that armor of God, because we are going to need that armor more now more than ever. See, when things are going good, you tend to forget about the Lord. But everything should not be forgotten about what God has given us each and every day. And many martyrs are reminded of that, those being persecuted today. They live and depend on Him. They have to. When we hear the word martyr, remember what St. Augustine said. The cause, not the suffering, makes a genuine martyr. Are we truly for the cause that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but by Him? That there really truly is a heaven? That there really truly is a hell? That every soul is on their way to one way or the other? Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember when I was saying persecuted, pursue, follow, was the Greek and Hebrew? Well, the dictionary, to afflict, to harass constantly, oppress cruelly, to trouble or annoy constantly. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, we need to have that heart, as John and Peter did, to rejoice in this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. The fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in spirit into His likeness, even to His death. This is our hope. See, we need to, that's why He says, count it, you know, all joy when you're going through these persecutions, when these trials and these sufferings. Because we are part of Him. We are the body of Christ, and He lives in us and through us. And this is part of Him, out of His love, continuing to form us into His likeness and helping us to be stronger in Him, seeing the power of the resurrection come in us and through us to others as we are constantly obedient to Him, loving Him, as Stephen did. Because he decided, I love the Lord God, I am not going to deny Him. I'm going to live for Him. He was a man of integrity. He wasn't a pastor. He was one that the apostles chose to help do the work that needed to be done in the church. And yet, he was a man full of the word, as we've been talking about, be full of the word. Because it's not just the pastor's job to be full of the word. It is our job as part of the body of Christ to be full of the word, strong in this word. And as Stephen is, He is strong in the word when he is approached by these men. Standing strong in the word, standing strong in the love, being able to take this on with a humble heart, with a loving heart as they're persecuting him unto death. The first martyr saying, Father, forgive them, because they just don't know what they're doing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. See, Stephen, he did this. What a perfect example. And remember, once again, he was just one of us. He was just out there. He was an example out there. We all have a sphere of influence, and we're all out there. We are an ambassador of Christ. We are out there being an example for him, but we need to be filled with the word, standing strong in the name and the power. For this is Jesus, and this is our power. Not only his name, not only his blood that covers those who have repented of their sins, but this is the power that helps us to continue to be looking to him for the strength and feeding our souls. This is our bread. This is our strength. This is our source. And this helps us daily. We need to be in it daily to help us. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 says, the Amplified says, blessed, happy, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from your outward condition, and to be envied, are you when people despise, hate you, and when they exclude and excommunicate you as disreputable, and revile and denounce you, and defame and cast out and spurn your name as evil, wicked, on account of the Son of Man. God's Word translation says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they avoid you, when they insult you and slander you, because you are committed to the Son of Man. Many people want to just have Jesus as like, okay, I'm saved and that's good. But instead, Jesus is calling us out into a life to help reach others. And in that is going to come persecution. Not everybody is going to receive you well. But as they see you living his life, as you're being fed with this word and continue to be strengthened, to be able to stand firm in his ways, to be able to respond. Remember the volcano? To be able to have the word wetting us with the rod, with that spirit, so that it's no magma is built up. And they're looking at you going, with everything that's going on, how could you still be receiving me with love? How could you still be forgiving me, knowing what they are doing to you, how they are treating you, and you're still responding with love and kindness? When you're praying for them to be blessed? When you're trying to be kind and do things for them, and they're like, what's up with her? When stuff is going on and you still have this peace and everybody else is freaking out and they're looking at you, you're getting that strength because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you are committed to him. You're committed to what that price, that blood paid for each one of us on the cross. You're committed to stand strong in him and his word, in your faith. Because it is that faith, the small as a mustard seed, that can move those mountains, that can quench the fiery darts that are coming towards you. Because that faith, as small as a mustard seed, grabs onto his faith. It is his faith then that is covering it. That is our shield. But it takes that step of us daily to be committed to him, that small little mustard seed faith. There are some examples of people in this world who have given their lives. One that many of you probably know of him is Bonhoeffer. And I am so excited that I got this book, not that I'll be able to read it. I wish I could be like, I guess, John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy could read like 400 pages in an hour. That's not me. Okay, but I wish I could, because then I would like be able to read so much, because I love reading and I love learning. But Bonhoeffer, when I heard about him, it was like he was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor in Germany. And he knew as things were trying to be changed, right? He knew that things were twisting around. They were twisting around the word. They were twisting around God's ways. And he was preaching the truth to his people and warning them of what was going on. And then he was part of a group that were trying to kind of like take care of Hitler so he would no longer be around. And But he was still trying to help people. Well, eventually some people, kind-hearted, got him to escape to America. He couldn't handle it. And he went back because he says, I have to help. I have to help. So he went back in a territory that he knew he would be persecuted for his faith as he was had experienced it. And then he died 2 weeks before Hitler died in a camp in a prison. But he continued because he believed in the truth and he wanted to warn others of the truth and what was going on. We need to not be silent. And when we see things that are not right, we need to do it in a way that is well-pleasing to God, but we need to fight for justice. He did not have us here to be quiet and not to fight for his ways. Fighting, I do not mean to be mean. I mean to standing up in a loving, firm way of God's righteous ways, of his word, being kind to one another. This voice of the martyrs this is the story of Richard Wurmbrand, who also was a pastor, and the sufferings that he was in a prison for 14 years, suffered much torture. And then many of us know of James Elliot, a martyr. These are journals that he had of his devotional times. And do you remember this, Dick, when I got this at Barnes & Noble and you and Lynn were there? And I was so excited because I had a gift certificate and I saw this and I was so excited when I got this. But when I had heard his wife speak many years ago when I first became a Christian, it was like incredible what this man did. And then for her to go back to the cannibals who killed her husband and others, for her to go back and to still being persecuted and help them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. A man who truly was, as we consider it, martyred for the Lord and his ways, but out of love, trying to reach those natives. And then many of us know Corrie Ten Boom. I got this years ago when I was homeschooling the children. A woman who knows what persecution is like to stand up for her faith, trying to help others for justice, for God's ways, but in a loving way. Her sister being martyred, but she learning how to forgive and love those who had done horrible things to her and others that she loved. She was relying and standing on Jesus, the power of his name, the power of his blood, the power of his word. I just recently read from Me'az Israel of a gentleman, Pastor Umar, in Uganda. And this is a picture of him. He has a mask over his face because he was had been a Muslim. It was easier to be a Muslim in Uganda. Things went much easier. And then he became a Christian. And then he started growing in the Lord and his word, became a pastor. And then he started falling in love with Israel and realizing the blessings of supporting Israel in prayer and helping however they could. So then in his church, he had a flag of Israel and a flag of his country. Now, this is our country, so we have the American flag. But they were ones that really he moved on moving the people and helping them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and then to pray for Israel. And so the Muslims didn't like what he was doing. He was bringing more and more Muslims to the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. And they didn't like his also support of Israel. And so they planned and plotted how to get to him, and they finally threw some acid on him, liquid acid. They wanted to torture him, true persecution. And so when they found out, Israel found out about him, they had him brought to Israel, and their doctors are continuing to work on him. It's going to be months and years of work. And they're trying to rebuild the eye socket and the ear and the nose and a lot of grafting, so he has that. Well, finally, support came up enough so that they could get the mother and their twin boys to join. So this is, you can pass this around. This is a neat article. And then there was Nigeria. And here's a red letter Bible, blood stained because people were shot by Muslims there. Several were killed. The pastor stayed alive, and his daughter and one of his children went to be with the Lord, and several others. And he still is preaching the word. He used to be a Muslim too. It was easier to be a Muslim. And now he is a Christian serving the Lord. He says, it says, however, Salumain has not been consumed by fear because he is convinced that Islam is false. There is no peace in Islam. He said, Islam brings division, and the only way we can overcome Islam is by love, not by fighting, not by rioting. It is by love. If we can take the love of God and begin to share it to people, Islam will fall. He knows the gospel is the answer, but he doesn't think Christians are doing enough to reach Muslims in Nigeria. We are scared to tell someone that Jesus loves them, he said. We should not be scared. We have the power of God in us to reach a dying world. This year, Sulaiman intends to focus on sharing the gospel with Muslim leaders. Anyone who kills me as a converted Muslim, his reward is double, he said. But we will not be afraid. We will still preach the gospel to them. He asked that we pray for his preservation, but he said, for me to die is gain. See, he is not afraid to live and try to help others. We should not be afraid. We should be bold and stand, but with a love and a kindness towards others in our sphere of influence, and then be praying for those that are standing out in major persecution out in the world. A young man, also in Nigeria, was attacked by Muslims and by a machete because he was a believer. And he's lost an arm. Voice of the Martyrs paid for him to have a, what do you call this thing? Prosthetic. Thank you. Prosthetic. And I was going to say prosthesis, but, you know, I knew that wasn't right. So I just think it's like, see, there's ministries out there that we need to pray for and ask God to be able to reach them and help them. And I want us to watch in a second. There is a little... I want us to watch this video of what a Christian can go through in another country. So do we treasure that Bible like that? How many times have we just laid it down and, oh, I'm too busy, Lord. I've got things to do. This is our strength. This is our power, and this is what we need every day. I know I have failed not to treasure his word. And there's Christians that are dying for this in prison that know how precious this is and how powerful this is for them. May we stop neglecting it, and may we hunger for his word daily, because we need this. As he said, there is a fight going on right now. There is a spiritual war we are in right now. Our loved ones, our families, our city, our country, let alone those in the world. We need to stop thinking about ourselves and make him a priority and his precious holy word our strength. This is our power to continue on each and every day. May we continue to not only pray for one another here, but pray for those around the world and for those who are persecuted, standing up for his word, for his truth, for what Jesus gave us for salvation. May we stand in that. I want to hand these out. Each one can have one of these, and then I need one per family on these. So, Dick, can you help? One per family, thank you. And there's more stories in there, but I just
want us to remember. We have been learning about the importance of prayer. We've been learning about the importance of reading His Word and standing up for truth. And as we learn of more injustice, we need to lift up and pray. And if God asks us to do something besides prayer, we need to be active and do it. But we need to not forget about being in the Word and stand strong. It is not going to get easier here. When the Bible, if you're reading it, it warns us that as the time draws near for Christ to return, it is not going to get easier. It's not going to be peachy keen. It is going to be that we need to be strong in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our strength. And the only way we can do that is continue to be fed by the power of this precious Holy Word. And that power comes once when we first have those humble hearts of saying, Lord, You're a priority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You right now. And I know there's times when I've not allowed and dedicated the proper amount of time that I need to be in Your Word and treasure Your Word. Lord, I thank You and praise You for Your precious Holy Word. For it is, as this treasure box shows, it is the true treasure. Lord, may each of us be strengthened by Your Word. And we are so thankful for this freedom. May it continue to be a freedom. And may we pray for those, Lord, that do not have their Bibles, that are in prison, help them to get the Bibles that they need, Lord. May we continue to fight for the freedom of Your Word, Lord God, to be spread around the world, Lord God, and strengthened, drawing on it for our own lives. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Holy Word. Amen. We see that this, the power of prayer, but as I wanted to show you, this treasure box, the true treasure, that is our true treasure, His precious Holy Word. Can the prayer teams please come to this area? Could you please come right here? I'd rather you be right here closer to the front. Up your hands as to receive this blessing from the Lord. I am going to be claiming and praying numbers 6, 24 through 26 for each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you, watch over you, guard you, and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto you. And may the Lord lift up His approving countenance upon you and give you peace. Blessings to each one of you. Have a blessed, blessed week. Thank you. Amen. Amen.